This morning, I want to talk to you guys on the subject of spiritual warfare. When you say spiritual warfare, you think, what is this, the new latest Xbox game coming out, you know? You got, you know, all these different things that can, you know, concerning war and everything else, but spiritual warfare is a real thing that we're involved in. Whether you want to believe that or not, each and every person that calls themselves born again is in the army of God. Amen? And so there are times when we see evil very blatantly, right? Sometimes it's very, very blatant to see that. We see, we're coming up on the anniversary of September 11th of 2001. I remember exactly where I was. I was teaching school. And my assistant came and she said, you've got to come and see what's on television. You've got to come and see. And I said, I can't. I'm teaching. She goes, you need to come and see what's on television. So I went to see, and all of a sudden I got there just in time to see the second plane go into the building, into the second tower. You see that this kind of evil all around us, it's prevalent. You can see the drugs and prostitution and all these different things. They're blatant, they're evil, they're things that you don't need to ponder if they're bad. They are bad, they're evil. And you see that the times after 9/11, you see all the analysts analyzing everything and trying to figure out where we went wrong or what the cause of this is or why is this stuff happening? Why is bad things happening to good people? And all these different things. We're analyzing everything to death, but I'm telling you that today in the spirit realm, there is a war that's being waged, not only for you, not only for your family, but for this country as well. There is an enemy out there, our adversary called the devil, who wants to steal, to kill and destroy everything that God has established in your life. Do you believe that this morning? The believer that doesn't believe in the devil or hell or Satan or any of those things is a believer that is deceived and believing that there is no adversary, that they're going to skip through life. Ask Ron and Amy if there's an adversary. There is absolutely an adversary. And that adversary wants to do everything he can to steal, to kill, and destroy everything. Everything that God has placed in your life. That joy, that peace, that rest, everything. But you see, there's an evil that's not so prevalent, though. That is not so obvious. It's an evil that kind of hides underneath the surface of things. It hides under the surface of good. Everybody say good. There's that person that uses the structure of the church. Maybe it's some kind of pastor that uses the structure of the church not to minister to hurting, not to minister to the broken or to the needy, but use it as a gain for himself. But using it under the guise of good. There's a parent who praises God loudly in public and worships God, but yet abuses their children when no one else is looking. There may be a woman who is carefully about her public image, who is primarily proper and has all the attire, whose public words are chosen to reflect her submission to Christ. But yet she's gossiping and filled with murmuring and complaining all the time. You see, we can put on good facades and we can label it as good. We can label it as sociably acceptable. But sometimes evil hides under the guise of good. Under the guise of, well, it's okay. That, you know, everything's prim and proper. Everything's right. Everything's going okay. But at home, things are falling apart. In their lives, they can't control their mouths. They praise God one minute, and then they curse and use all kinds of foul language the next. There's a war going on for the absolute freedom and joy that you have in Christ Jesus. Because see, when God gains ground in your life, and when you do like the song says, you break every chain. You break every chain. You break every chain in your life. The enemy is not going to sit back and just say, well, okay, he's good. I guess he's no longer available for me to terrorize. Look, the enemy doesn't tire people, nor is he stumped by how to torture you or torment you or to take away your joy or your peace or your comfort and rest. Nor will he rest until he sees you abandon God and curse God and die. That's what the adversary is there to do, to rob, steal, kill, and destroy everything that God has established in your life. Now, evil may be loud and blatant, or it may be lurking underneath the shadows, again, under the guise of what we call good, all right? Now, first, why is there such a battle? Why is there a battle for this going on in the world? Because evil brought to us is brought to us by a mastermind called the devil. He's a mastermind. I cringe when I hear believers go, oh, the devil has nothing on me. The devil has nothing on me. Listen to me. The devil has everything on you. He never forgets your wounds. He never forgets your shortcomings. He never forgets your past. He knows your past better than you do. Sometimes the enemy will come in and he will begin to bring into remembrance those things that you have long forgotten and have gotten peace about, but then he will throw that right up in your face at just the opportune time for him. That's the adversary I'm talking about. When a football player goes in and a football team don't adequately plan for their adversary or their foe, and they go onto the field and they don't have a game plan to combat the quarterback or the running back or their All-American wide receiver, what's going to happen? That wide receiver is going to eat them. He's going to eat their lunch. And so it is with our adversary as well. If we don't read the playbook, which is the Word of God, if we don't study the tape, which is coming into the house of God and listening to the Word of God preach and expose ourselves to worship, expose ourselves to the preaching of God's Word, expose ourselves as we raise our hands, as we kneel, as we pray, as we seek God's face, then we give a foothold to the enemy. A lot of people say, well, my church attendance isn't really a big deal. I can serve God at home. Let me tell you something. That is a lie. That is a lie. Because we are built to be relational people. The Bible says that we are to continue to go to church, to be faithful to the church, even as we see the day approaching. Why is that? Because the days are getting worse and worse and worse. Amen? You look at what our nation is embroiled in Syria right now, and our president not knowing exactly what to do, handing off voting and everything else to know what we're supposed to do with Syria. Look at how bombings and all these different things are going on, not only in countries foreign, but also domestically as well. Now, I'm not beating up my president because he is my president. I didn't vote for him, but he's my president, right? And whether you voted for him or not, he's still your president. And so we are to pray for him. We are to lift him up and ask. I said, Father, give President Obama wisdom. Yes. Give him understanding. May he know you better. May he have wisdom to run our country. And so we see all of these things going on in our country, and it's getting worse even as the days are approaching. We as believers shouldn't be surprised because we read this in the Word. And as we see things worsen, the Bible says, look up because our redemption draws nigh. Amen? And so the Bible says that as believers, we have this great hope. The hope that non-believers do not have, the hope that because we are saved, because we are born again, because we are blood-bought saints that are washed in His blood and have been forgiven, we now have a way to the Father. We now have peace. We no longer have to shrink back when we see these horrible things happening. But we can look up because the Bible says our redemption draweth nigh. Now, I want to share something. Everybody turn with me to Ephesians 6:12. Ephesians 6:12. See, where we get mixed up sometimes is that we feel like that our struggle is with man. We feel like that our struggle is with the person at work, or the struggle is with our finances, the struggle is with our relationships, the struggle is with what the chaos that's going on in the world. The struggle is this and that and the other. But Ephesians 6:12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in this dark world." You see, the Bible brings things out of the one dimension realm into the spirit realm. Amen? Because there is a battle that's being raged in the heavenlies for you. There's a battle being waged in the heavenlies for our nation, for our country, for the world, for people in general and itself. Because if the Son of Man, if Jesus Himself, the Son of God, came and gave His blood, gave it up, God gave everything that He possibly could, don't you think that there is an enemy out there that wants to steal, rob, kill, and destroy everything that Jesus has established here on earth? And that includes your home. That includes your marriage. That includes your children. That includes your finances. That includes your workplace. That includes your family. Amen? There's a war being waged, not only for that, but there's a war being waged for what God is doing here in our church. And we need to understand that there is an adversary that knows your name, that knows your address, that knows your likes. I mean, you're talking about identity theft. The devil, he knows everything about us, including our PIN numbers, including our mother's maiden name, including all those things that we've forgotten about. He knows all of it. And he is masterful at the way he deploys his evil deeds, isn't he? He's a master at it. We can be up on the mountaintop. We come out of a service and, man, we can invade hell with a water gun. You know what I'm saying? Those type of services where you just come out of there, you feel like that you're bulletproof and every button on your shirt's been popped off because you've been in the presence of God. And all of a sudden, somebody will say one little thing and, man, you're down in the dumps again. You know why that is? It isn't because our battle is with flesh and blood. Our battle is in the spirit. The Bible says that whenever God imparts those things to us, we have got to be good gatekeepers of what God has established in our life. Can anybody say amen this morning? We can't just go around and do everything that we want and use license as a grace to sin. And say that, well, I was born again when I was 5, and so I'll do whatever I'm going to do. God's going to accept me in because I was born again when I was 5. It doesn't work that way. That's why the Bible says that there is a struggle, that we've got to stand firm. Why would the Bible use stand firm or struggle or persevere or to even have faith? If our salvation is locked in, if nothing can hurt us, it's because there's a war being waged. Why do you think the Bible says that we are to put on the full armor of God? Because there's a war being waged for our very souls, for our very survival. Now, the world as part of a normal society, and look just in a whole, as a society, we are eroding. Our society is eroding. We think that we can legislate morality. We think that we can make this law cure all of our ills. We think that we can boycott this, and that's going to please God. Or we can do this or that or the other. We try to put all these different things, but that's not going to be enough. Now, I'm all about morality. I'm all about putting Christian believers in office and all these different things. And I'm about being conscious of businesses and all those different things. But that's just one dimensional. Unless we are praying, unless we are coming against the wiles of the devil, unless we are coming against what the devil has planned for our family, planned for our lives. You know, God has a plan for our life, but so does the devil. Amen? And we know what it is. It's blatant, steal, kill, and destroy. That's his tactics, steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life, and that you have life more abundantly. Amen? It's time that we start living the life that Christ died for. Amen? It's time that we start living the life that Christ died for. And the only way that we can do that is to realize that we have an adversary and there is a war to be waged in the heavenlies. And we are a part of that fight. Each and every one of us are soldiers. Each and every one of us has a part to play in that spiritual warfare. Amen? Now, the Bible gives believers a new point of view on all of these things, seeing beyond the obvious into the realm of the Spirit. Everyone turn to 2 Corinthians 4:18. 2 Corinthians 4:18. Now again, the Bible, I said that as believers, the Bible gives us a new point of view. We're seeing beyond the obvious into the realm of the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says this, we are told that we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. There is an added dimension that the Christian brings to the discussion. He uses weapons that are not of this world. Amen. You can't beat the enemy by your own stubborn will, men. You're not man enough. Let that seep in a little bit. You're not man enough. You're not strong enough. Sometimes we can't pray hard enough, but that spirit that God has implanted. See, I said this Wednesday night, it's interesting that We see Jesus as someone walking beside us and going before us. He's behind us. He's our covering. All those different things. We see Jesus working in our lives externally. But what we don't realize is that Christ indwells inside of us. He changes us. He gives us a new heart. He gives us a new spirit. He gives us a new way of thinking. He doesn't just come along beside of us and hold our hand, but he empowers us with a new heart, a new spirit, and a new mind that is transformed by his word. Amen? And because of that, we know that Jesus is never far off. We know that Jesus always hears us because he indwells us. His very spirit, it indwells our hearts, indwells our minds, indwells every single thing about us, the very essence of who you are. He lives and abides and has his being in you. Amen? The Bible says we are to fix our eyes not on what we see. And so many times that's exactly what we do, isn't it? We see that this bill is coming due, or we see that relationships are broken, or we see that this is happening, children are rebelling, or whatever's going on in your life, whether it be physical, mental, or whatever it is, we are so prone to fix our eyes and our attention upon that very thing, and we forget about all of God's promises. We forget all about God's words. We are so short-minded. Felipe, it's so good to see you here today. God has brought her through some stuff, healing her body. Amen. So glad to see you. And so, God, what the enemy can do is take a situation like Felipe's and begin to bring doubt and depression upon her. Because when you're sick and in the hospital, you're all by yourself. Sometimes you can't sleep, right? They're coming in, checking, turn the lights on, everything else. So you can't sleep, you're sleep deprived, you're sick, you're hurting, and all of a sudden all this stuff can come in and infiltrate your mind. But the more that we know the Word, church, the more we know the heart of God for who we are. Amen? The more we know the word, the more we can combat the enemy. We can't come at the enemy with cliches. We can't come to the enemy speaking in tongues. We can't come to the enemy with just songs. We can't come to the enemy with just our own tenacity and stick-to-itiveness. We can't do that. It's only through the word of God that we are able to overcome everything that the enemy throws our way. Amen? The word of God is our lifeblood. It is the thing that sustains us. It's like the air that we breathe. If I sucked out all the air in this room, we would die very quickly. It'd be pandemonium in this place. And it's so it is with the word of God. The believer that doesn't know the word of God is like a person that is deprived of air. They're desperate. They're clinging to everything. They're trying everything they possibly can to get air, but they can't get it. But a believer that knows the word of God knows his God, knows his God's plans for their life, and knows that his God can deliver them from any plans that the enemy has for them. Somebody give God praise this morning. Amen. The first thing I want you to understand this morning concerning our weapons, what God has given us to fight the enemy, is this. He has given us truth. Everybody look at John chapter 8, verse 31, 32. This is Jesus talking. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, and this is important, okay? Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, all right? Not to the Jews that haven't made their minds up. Not to the Jews that are persecuting him. But Jesus said to the Jews who believe him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen? Yeah. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What's that mean, to know the truth? That means there's no doubt about who our God is and who can deliver us from all evil. It's not our plans. It's not our strategies. It's not necessarily our Bible studies or our hardcore praying, but it is the truth of God's word that sets us free. Amen? There is no other truth except the truth in God's word. Now, truth is the chief weapon of all Christians. Truth is not just knowledge, nor is it just education. You can educate somebody about making good decisions, but it's up to them whether or not they're going to make a good decision or not, right? So it's not just about education. It's not just about filling someone's head with a bunch of scriptures. You go down to the jail and the prisons, and there's lots of people whose minds are full of scripture, but it hasn't transformed their hearts and their lives and became truth. And so it's not about just educating, and it's not just about knowledge, but it's about knowing the truth. The truth of God's word is the only thing that can bring freedom and life to us. Now, we must be committed to the truth. Christianity introduces truth into any situation. It reveals reality. It reveals the state of where we are. The truth of God's word. The Bible says that people are forsaking the truth for a lie, a blatant lie. And so many times we abandon truth for lie as well. Why? Because it's easier to believe a lie than it is the truth all the time, isn't it? You don't have to shake your head up and down. You know it's true. Sometimes it's easier to believe a lie than it is to believe the truth. Why? Because when you know the truth, you've got to confront the state in which you're in. Amen? When you know the truth, you've got to confront. Otherwise, you're just coping. We talked about that Wednesday. Boy, y'all are missing a lot of good Wednesday nights. Come this Wednesday night, 6:30. That's a shameless plug, isn't it? Our lives are to be lived openly before all people. Look, as a believer, You're not a closed book. You're not someone that is private. You're not somebody that should be hiding back in the corners and in the shadows. You have the amazing, living Word of God indwelling you that is the hope for all humanity. And so our lives are to be put on display. Now look, I know all of us are going to fail. If you failed in this room, raise your hand. I'm going to raise mine first, all right? Because I'm your leader, all right? I have failed. I have sinned. I have fallen short of the glory of God. But there's one thing in my life that never changes. And that is the fact that I have made up my mind and I am faithful to the truths of God's Word. That's why the Bible says that we are to be quick to repent. When you mess up, be quick to repent. You don't have to say 100 Hail Marys. You don't have to light 50,000 candles. You don't have to say an incantation. All you have to do is say, Father, forgive me for I have sinned. And the Bible says He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. But then He goes a step further than that. He said, and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That's powerful stuff. Not only does He forgive us, but He cleanses us. He washes us clean. And the Bible says he doesn't remember it anymore. The people that remember it are us, right? We can remember that stuff. We beat ourselves up good. We know how to do that. But that is also the ploy of the enemy. Know that there is a war being waged, and that war that's being waged is specifically in your face. It's where you live. You can't escape it. It is what we're going through as believers. Listen, Dana and I, several months ago, we don't argue much. We do argue, okay? Don't get me wrong. But what... There was a series of a few weeks there where we were just at each other's throats. And there was a point where it got intense and she was working and I was working. Man, when we're arguing, I just can't stand it. I have a terrible day. And so I called up Gerald and I said, Gerald, I want you to watch the boys because there's something going on in my marriage and I got to take care of it. So I confronted that issue. Because there's an enemy out there that doesn't like my relationship with my wife, doesn't like the harmony that's in my home, doesn't like the God-centered atmosphere that I have placed in my home, doesn't like the way I raise my children. And because of that, the enemy will come in and try to steal, kill, and destroy. And it's my job as the father and as the husband, as the leader of my home, to recognize the attack and deal with it directly. Amen. Amen. And so what did I do? I took my wife out to eat.
Yeah.
My wife and I had husband and wife time. That's just the way it is.
Amen.
And we dealt with those issues. We pray together. We come together and say, look, there's something off. We got to come. We got to pray together. Do not let things go in your marriage.
Woo!
Amen? Do not let things go. Husbands, do not let things go in your marriage. Pray over your wives. If something's off, confront it in Jesus' name. Confront those things. Wives, if you feel that something's off, go to your husband and say, something's not right. We've got to pray. Don't let things go. Don't just turn the TV on and not talk for 5 hours. Talk to one another. Pray over one another. Pray over your children because no one else will. I'm preaching the truth this morning, ain't I? Amen. Not bad for getting a sermon ready just last night, right? Uh-huh, that's right. I'm not going to hide that from you. That's the way it is. Number two, the second weapon is prayer, the prayer of faith. I'm not talking about just, now I lay me down to sleep. I'm not talking about that kind of prayer. I'm not talking about a prayer that you have learned. I'm not talking about a prayer that we can just recite without even thinking about it. But I'm talking about a prayer that confronts the devil himself, not with our tenacity, but backed by the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's the kind of praying that we need to do. All people pray, but Spirit-filled people pray in faith, believing that God hears and that God answers our prayers. Amen? James chapter 5, verse 16 says this. It reminds us that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective, and it avails much. Amen? The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What a mighty weapon is put in our hands when we pray. When we seek His face, when we come before Him. When we don't feel like it. I don't feel like praying all the time. I know you guys probably think that about me. You know, pastors have got this thing, this aura. Oh, pastor just, man, he really stays in the presence of God all the time, you know. He never has a bad day. He's, you know, he's praying when he's working. He's praying over his kids. He's praying. No, I mean, I get mad at Christian. Ask him. He'll tell you. Well, our home's not perfect. But I'm talking about a praying. Thank you, honey. I'm talking about, but I'm talking about a time where you don't always feel like praying. You don't always feel like taking the Bible and opening it up and having the joy of the Lord be your strength. We have times where we feel like that we can't look up because we're sucking too much carpet. Because we're on our faces. We don't want to turn the light on. We feel depressed. We feel that no one loves us. We feel that our ministry is never going to take off. We feel that God's plan for us has been thwarted for some strange reason. And so because of it, we're just down the dumps. But the person that is in that spot, that is convinced of the power and the authority of the truths of God's Word, will begin to shake those chains off of them, not because they are strong, but because the Word of God is faithful. That Jesus is not far from us, that He is in us, He is indwelling us, and He is changing us and bringing us from glory to glory to glory. Amen? The prayer, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What is that effectual, fervent? What does that mean? That means getting up off of your knees and uncrossing your hands and praying in the Spirit of God and bringing down those strongholds, pulling them down in the name of Jesus, speaking to that mountain that's trying to rest itself upon you and saying, no, in the name of Jesus, I say no. You know why Jesus, he and his disciples got in a boat and Jesus said, we're going to go to the other side. Well, in the midst of going to the other side, there was a storm that came up. The Bible says a squall came across the lake. And a squall is a short, quick, violent storm. And everybody that was in that boat, there was a lot of people that were skilled sailors in this boat. And all of a sudden, the wind started beating up against the boat and the rain, and started pelting them in the face, and they couldn't see what to do. They couldn't hear each other. And Jesus was in the belly of this boat sleeping. Now, I went out with Ross fishing, and my son, Joshua, my other son, was, we got out there, and the waves were just going up and down. And I looked back, and I saw Joshua, and his face was pale. And just, he was so sick, poor guy. For 45 minutes, he just laid in the bottom of Ross's boat, just sick as could be. And then he came up to where I was at, and he goes, oh, Dad, oh, I don't feel good at all. I got pictures of him, you know, he's just white as a sheet. I'll put him on fake. No, I won't do that. But he came over to where I was, and he leaned over the side and just went, ugh. And he just threw up until he just, it was like a slick, you know. But he went down, and it was a minute at least, and he went like this, he goes, he turned around and the pink came back into his lips. His cheeks were red. And he got up and he goes, okay, where's my pole? I'm ready to go. Christian, he was too busy catching fish. And so what happened was, Jesus was in the bottom of this boat and a squall came across the lake. And Jesus was sleeping. He was sleeping. Do you know what caused him to be able to sleep? Jesus spoke a word that we're going to the other side. That's it. Jesus spoke His word. And when Jesus speaks his word within us, even though that there's a squall coming on every side of our life, we know that God has spoken his word through his son Jesus, and that peace should cause us to sleep during the storm. Should cause us to have peace when we feel that we should be falling apart. When everybody else is grasping for answers, we have peace because we know the answer. We know that that answer is in Jesus. We know that that healing is in Christ. We know that that healing is in the Son of God. And we know that whenever we pray, according to James 5:16, that the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. These are the powerful weapons that we have in our spiritual warfare. These are the weapons that God has given us. These weapons are mighty in pulling down strongholds, pulling them down. This morning, can everybody stand up? There's a war being waged this morning. Each and every one of us have different lives. Each and every one of us puts on different facades, and we go about our business and we handle our situations differently. All of us do. But the one common denominator for each and every person in this room is the Son of God indwelling inside of us. This morning, if you don't know Christ, if you don't know the Savior of your soul, the lover of your soul, if you don't know Him as a Lord and as Savior, then you are subject to every attack of the enemy. You can get used to being overwhelmed and not having any answers whatsoever. But the blood of Jesus was shed not only for your sins, but so that you can overcome. Amen? Let's all bow our heads. We're going to pray this morning. Father, I thank you that you did not just leave us in this world powerless, but you sent the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit, to empower us to be overcomers, and not that we would be overcome. You have given us the power of your Holy Spirit and the truth of your word, and you have given us the tool called a fervent prayer so that we can overcome, not by our strength and not by our wisdom, but by your Spirit, says the Lord. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And there's one last thing. You see, in order to receive Christ, you have to be tired of your present circumstances. You've got to be ready to forsake that which you know, that which is not working, that which is flawed, for that which is holy and righteous. Do you like that old song that says, I surrender all? I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. This morning, if you don't know Christ, if you don't know Him as your Lord and as your Savior, I want you to come to this altar right now, and I want to introduce you to a Savior that will change your life, that will redefine your destiny, that will give you a hope and give you a future. This morning, if you don't know Christ, if you're not born again, if you're not a Christian, I want you to come. Come this morning. And we'll give you a minute. Come this morning. You say, Pastor, I'm going through a war this morning. Yes, I'm born again. Yes, I've been praying. But man, I need extra prayer from my church family. I'm going through something, and I need prayer this morning. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand. Put it back down, okay? 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 All right. Hallelujah. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We don't come to you frantically or in disbelief, but we come to you knowing that you hear our prayers because you indwell us, Lord. You're not just beside us or behind us or above us or beneath us, but you are inside of us. And Lord, I lift up my brothers and sisters this morning that are struggling, that are going through the battle, that are battle weary, that may have come in limping, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would strengthen them. God, that they would be encouraged through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the truths of your word, God, may they be set free. In Jesus' name, I pray, Father, that you would begin to speak hope in their lives again, that you would speak peace in their lives again, that you would begin to speak joy in their lives again, that you would speak expectation again, that you would breathe new life into them again. Let your word overcome any attack of the enemy over their life. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving us the power to overcome, because this thing, this war is waged not with our flesh, but by the Spirit of God. I feel real strongly about praying over marriages this morning. If you're married, I want you to come forward this morning. If you're married, I want you to come forward. Maybe you're in a relationship this morning. You're trying to figure out the will of God. Come on down. Don't let things go in your marriage. Stay on the offense. In your marriage, when things do not feel like that they are centered, when things feel off in your home, don't get used to that. Don't cope. Talked about that Wednesday night. Don't cope, but confront. Amen. And if you can't do it by yourself, if you can't do it and come to an agreement on your own, seek help. Go through it by yourself. Come see me and Dana. Come to a brother and sister in the Lord that has their stuff together. Don't go to someone else that is going through the same thing. Go to someone who has their tank full. Amen. Don't go seeking advice from someone that can't help you. That's why the Bible says that we are to seek wise counsel. Amen. Don't settle for anything less in your marriage but God's best and His blessing. Amen? If you have a wife or a husband that is not born again, let that fire be kindled in your belly again to believe for their salvation. Because God can do the impossible. I cannot. You cannot. You've begged and pleaded long enough, right? Let God do the interceding. Let Jesus, who said that he is now forever at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you. Tap into that today. Amen? Tap into that. I just want you to take your wife by the hand, hug her, do whatever. If he or she is not here, then you stand in their place. All right? Let's pray. Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus, and I lift up to you every single marriage that is in this room. I thank you, Father, that what you have joined, let no one else separate. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would begin to breathe new life, even into the healthiest marriages in this room. Breathe new life, Lord. Let there be a deeper passion for the things of God between the two of them. I pray, Father, that you would rekindle, Lord, the passion between husband and wife physically. I pray, Father, that you would begin to, Lord, cause them to have attraction again for one another. God, that their eyes would be focused only on their mates. I pray, Father, that if there is any thing that is causing off balance in the home, I pray in the name of Jesus that the husbands in this room that has their wife's hand in theirs will begin to pray and intercede over that situation, but have the courage to confront and not regress and run. I pray, Father, I plead the blood of Jesus over each and every marriage, over each and every home. I pray over those marriages that are in shambles right now. God, that you would begin to shed your healing. God, that you would put a balm of your peace in Jesus' name. God, I can't do it, but you can, Lord. And I pray that faith would arise in the homes. God, that we begin to pray over our children again, whether they're grown, whether they're infants or adolescents or their children. I pray, Father, that prayer would be birthed in homes again. That moms and dads would be consistently praying over their children, their futures, their mates, their very souls, Father. I pray, Father, that each and every marriage will be a shining example of God's love and His mercy. That, Father, that our marriages would be an ambassador for those that are hurting, those that are in distress. God, may you protect our homes. We plead the blood of Jesus over our marriages, God. Help us to be vigilant in guarding our home, vigilant in loving our wives, vigilant, Lord, because we wrestle not with flesh and blood. Our fight is not with our spouse. Someone once said, and it stuck with me forever, and I quoted it to Pastor Johnny the other day, we deserve what we tolerate. If we tolerate a home that is off, if we tolerate a home that just isn't in the center of God's will, if we tolerate disjointedness, if we tolerate lying or mistrust, if we tolerate those things, we deserve it. Because we're not confronting. Husbands, confront, confront, confront. Don't retreat. Don't retreat. Because the Bible says you are the priest of your home. You are your wife's covering. You are not her foe. You are her covering. Cover her. Father, I thank you and I praise you, Father, that you did not leave us weaponless. You did not leave us helpless, but you have given us a way to wage war in the heavenlies over our lives, over our spouses, over our family, over our community, over everywhere we go. You have given this weapon of ours called truth, called prayer, called putting on the helmet of salvation, Lord. the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit. I thank you, Father, that you have given us shoes of readiness. God, you did not call us to retreat, but you called us to advance. And so, Father, we choose today to fight not with our own strength. We choose today not to try to understand with our own understanding. But, Lord, we come at the enemy through the Spirit of God, because our weapons are not of this world, but they are powerful in pulling down strongholds. And so, Father, I speak that over each and every life here today, each and every marriage, in Jesus' name. Oh, man, I feel so strong about that. Thank you, Jesus, for the power of your word. God, may we live in the joy of the Lord. May the joy of the Lord be our peace. May it get us through in the times when we feel so out of whack. May the joy of the Lord be our strength. I love you, Lord. I love you so much. You tell them that this morning. If you feel comfortable, I just want you to raise your hands this morning. And all that is just saying, Lord, I surrender to you. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust you. In your presence daily will I live. I surrender all to you, Lord. I surrender all to you. I love you so much, Father. And I thank you so much that you loved us enough, that you gave us your Son so that we may know you. Not only did you give us your Son, you gave us a way to combat the enemy. And so, Father, help us to be diligent about truth and praying in the Spirit of God and not coping with our situation, but overcoming. In Jesus' name, may you forever be praised in this house. Amen and amen. Amen. You know what? That's spiritual warfare. That's all that is. It's not about getting in a rocket and going up to space, but it's about praying in the Spirit of God and not accepting what we see, but believing in faith that God is going to bring us through. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Amen? Now, I give you permission to give your wife a hug and a kiss, too. Go right ahead. All right. You guys are dismissed. Hey, enjoy the ball game, all right? Enjoy opening day, all right? God bless you. Love you guys.